Hey, so my name is Jeremy Scott. I'm Principal Teacher of Computing at George Heriot's School in Edinburgh. And between 2011 and 2014, I was funded initially on a one-year basis, then it was extended to 3 years, to exemplify how people might go about delivering the computing science strands of curriculum for excellence, initially in the broad general education phase, and then at national qualifications level. So, what's computing science? Well, first in terminology, computing science, computer science, informatics, the terms are interchangeable. Computing science is the title of our SQA course. And I like to think of computing as being the fourth science. It's a study of how computer systems work, but it's also the program. Programming is a big part of what we do. It's creating the programs, the applications, that transform these pieces of electronics, because without software, they would be useless pieces of electrical junk. Without software, it couldn't do anything. It's software that transforms them into these wonderful pieces of technology that can allow us to do all these amazing things. But, you know, it's not just programming. It's the whole intellectual process surrounding it. Computing is a broad, rigorous discipline. Like maths, like chemistry, like history. It's even been called the new Latin, although I'm not entirely sure how helpful that term is. So, you may or may not have heard of this term, computational thinking. What is it? Well, as you see shortly, whether we're delivering mobile apps or games, the development's the medium. Computational thinking is the message. This is what we're trying to deliver in computing science. So what's computational thinking? Well, it's a set of thinking practices that computer scientists bring to bear upon problems. And it provides a foundation of understanding on which everything else is built. And computation is transforming all aspects of our society. Thinking about disciplines through a computational lens has radically changed the way that those subjects are studied. Be it physics, psychology, economics. Think of a discipline like archaeology, who watches Time Team. Now it's very much a science with huge computation involved. Same with biology and genetics. And these transferable skills are made concrete by computer programming in a way that no other subject can deliver. A lot of subjects can claim to teach aspects of computational thinking. We might subdivide a problem into its component parts. We might do a bit of abstract thinking. We might follow a procedure, an algorithm, a list of steps to solve a problem. But only computing science can bring all of these strands together and deliver it. And I was over at MIT last summer giving a talk there. Mitch Resnick at the Media Lab there, he's a great exponent of computer programming in early years. In fact, he's just produced, I don't know if it was mentioned earlier today, but he's just produced a version of his programming environment, Scratch, for the iPad, aimed at 5 to 7 year olds. He reckons above that they should be using Scratch proper. Scratch Junior, if you haven't got it, it's a free download for the iPad. It's brilliant. And I think this gets across really nicely why we need to be teaching computing science. And computing science might be computing science at high school. It might be letting kids explore with this technology very much younger. So I hope you see that computing science is not ICT. And it's a very big danger of conflating the two things. They're two very different things. And in fact, Eric Schmidt, the chief executive of Google, when he came to deliver the 2011 McTaggart Lecture here in Edinburgh, he said that he was flabbergasted to learn that computing science wasn't taught as standard in UK schools. That we have a generation of kids who are great users of the technology but have no insight into how it's made. A survey of first-year university students in America showed that there was a greater understanding amongst the typical student of how the internal combustion engine in their car worked than how the smartphone, the laptop, the iPad, or any of the other embedded computers that they use every day worked. So I think we're in danger of creating a generation of really proficient tool users, but that aren't tool makers. And we absolutely need to do that. So how do we do it? We need to establish computing science as a core STEM subject in our schools. Well, why? Well, curriculum for excellence sought to be forward-looking, seeking to equip kids with the skills, attributes they're going to need in the future. Here's another reason. The Scottish industry, IT industry, is worth £3.4 billion a year and is growing at four times the Scottish average. But it's grappling with a skills shortage. It's not just the IT industry itself. There are diverse opportunities in computing in all sectors of the economy. In 2011, south of the border, an economic impact study found that there was a shortage of 110,000 IT professionals and computer science professionals. And the expectation was that by next year, the IT workforce would have grown by another 113,000. An estimate which, despite a recession which we had over the last few years, is now starting to be very, very conservative indeed. E-Skills claims it has the biggest skills gap between supply and demand in the economy in any area. You only have to cross the road from my own school to Skyscanner, and you'll find a company that's grappling with this real skills shortage. And it makes no sense. We've also got an opportunity of getting more women into the IT industry. Women account at the moment for fewer than 20% of the country's IT professionals. So the industry's crying out for women. So there are therefore huge opportunities in careers that offer flexibility around time, place of work, travel, mobility, as well as significant remuneration. The estimate is that if you do a computer science degree, compared to a typical graduate, you'll earn £250,000 over your lifetime. That's the mortgage dealt with. So there must be an absolute groundswell of demand for computing. Schools must be falling over themselves to offer it. Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But we're facing some real issues just now. I would say there's something of a crisis in computing science in schools. The first thing is this confusion between computing science and ICT. This thing of tool users versus tool makers. This is a point we really need to get across, not only to school leaders and other decision makers, but parents and pupils themselves. Yet a survey of teachers in 2012 showed that computing has the lowest average allocation of time in S1 and S2 of any technology subject. There's a decline in the numbers who are signing up to take computing at level 4 and level 5. The new qualifications have raised the bar in our subject. They've made the subject more interesting, more engaging. But kids aren't taking the subject and schools aren't delivering it. Why not? Well, between 2006-07 and 2012, there was a 12% decline in the number of computing science teachers in school. They weren't being replaced. And since 2012, there's been a further 12% decline. Figures hot off the press from Computing at Schools Scotland suggest that in the last 2 years, Scotland has seen a decline of 109 qualified computing teachers. It's taking us down into the 600s. That leaves 1 in 8 secondaries in Scotland without a computing specialist, or having computing, and therefore rather having computing delivered by a non-specialist or not at all. And sadly, the home of the organisation putting on this conference today, Murray House, hasn't trained a computing teacher in several years, and that's something I would really urge Murray House to address. Professional development's also a major issue. I've heard a lot about pedagogy. The pedagogy in computing science is no different. It's changed a great deal. Not just the technology, but the pedagogy. That needs to be addressed as well, and is being done. And until fairly recently, we've found restrictive in-school IT policies. There's quite a, there's in Edinburgh with BYOD and with the iPad initiatives, there's a more enlightened approach, but this is not the same across Scotland. And whilst we clearly need to protect children from inappropriate content, we risk the IT infrastructure we've been investing so much in becoming the master rather than the servant of education. Computing science sits alone as a subject where learners can often be more at home than they can in schools. I remember when I started my teaching career, my classroom was an Aladdin's cave of kids who could never dream to get their hands on. There's a danger of kids going into a lot of secondary schools and saying, oh, is that all we've got? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? I'm very fortunate teaching at an independent school. We can be a bit more reactive. We have to deal with all our own services, so we have our own IT. We don't have to fill in a form where, without naming authorities, I have friends and other authorities where they fill out the form, usually online these days, and have to wait several weeks for a technician to come out. That needs to change too. But there is cause for optimism. It's not all doom and gloom. I do think Curriculum for Excellence has been a real shot in the arm for the subject. It makes computing science a core entitlement for all learners, but you'll need a specialist to deliver it. Using various applications in other subjects does not fulfil that requirement. You're selling your kids short if you think that that can happen. The ability to use a calculator doesn't in itself equip someone to teach mathematics. We're all great tool users, but to teach the next generation of tool makers, we need computer scientists. Modern businesses lack computational thinkers, not people that can use apps, leaving learners with a narrow view of computers as appliances rather than computation as a powerful medium. Risks leaving them as no better than illiterate serfs in a new digital dark age, rather than participants in the next digital enlightenment. They'll end up being controlled rather than being in control, and consuming rather than creating. But our new NQ courses really raise the bar, and they do elevate the status of the subject. In my own school, we're bucking the trend. Our numbers are up at level 5. We take kids in at S3 to do our nationals over 2 years, and my numbers are up. They've been up year on year, but it's not the same across Scotland. And I think a large part of it is that computing teachers, when they're retiring, are not being replaced. There's a real recruitment issue. Another really encouraging thing is that the government is taking this issue seriously. They've invested £400,000 in CPD for computing science teachers through the Plan C initiative. This is the Professional Learning and Networking in Computing. Plan C because, well, there is no Plan B. We have to get it right. And the Oversight Committee includes representatives of school, I'm on that myself, universities, Education Scotland, as well as the government's own Chief Scientific Advisor, Professor Murphy Calder, who is a computer scientist herself. So I was seconded to the Royal Society of Edinburgh and the British Computer Society, as I mentioned, from August 2011, to exemplify how you might go about delivering the computing science of CFE and levels 3 and 4. To produce free and customisable materials, but also to change the pedagogical mindset and embed computational thinking rather than just coding per se, much more closely into the courses. And there was a kind of alignment of the stars because it coincided with Eric Schmidt's MacTaggart lecture, a couple of really influential reports from the Royal Society of London on computing at school, as well as a lot of positive comments from government, north and south of the border. And it also comes at a time where, for the first time in a long time, there are fantastic tools at our disposal to put the world back into computing science. These are media-rich environments with no demanding syntax to learn. And importantly, every product that you see there, and there's lots and lots of others, it's free. So there's no cost to schools, learners can download them at home, they can use them. But even the mobile app development package in the middle comes with a mobile phone emulator, so learners don't even need a handset. So there's not an issue of accessibility there. So I've created three extensive resources, an introduction to computing science aimed at upper primary, lower secondary, based around the popular Scratch environment from MIT, progressing towards a more intermediate course based around BYOD, renamed SNAP recently because of the, I guess, the connotations of alcohol in an educational product. And lastly, a course in mobile app development. Kids are creating their own mobile apps, not just using them, which I think is pretty cool. So, I also sought to deliver, more recently, some support for the new national qualifications in computing science. So, dealing with web-based information systems and also software development and design. And that's using a package from an Edinburgh-based software company called RunRev. Each resource comes with two packs. Learning materials, which include a background and investigation. So, introducing what computing science is. What is a computer? How does it work? Even the history of the computer. And then pupils will create a series of example apps that get increasingly difficult. And each app is supported with screencasts. This is a YouTube generation. Kids don't want to be reading instruction manuals. They're much more adept at alt-tabbing to flip between screens and using a scrub bar back and forth to revise the material. It's on the RSE's YouTube channel, so we've got a genuinely flipped classroom model there. It's not rocket science. You've got to differentiate your materials. So all learners have got to be able to achieve the core tasks, but there are lots of extensions to stretch the more able, the more interesting. But dealing with the computational thinking, it's not just a recipe book. Follow steps 1 to 10, you'll create an app. But what did you really learn? There are lots of follow-up exercises. Getting kids to look at a piece of code. Why does this work? Do these two things do the same thing? Why does this piece of code work? And really encouraging discussion. The research suggests that discussion is key to understanding. There's nothing better than seeing kids explain to each other why they think this piece of code will or won't work. And as I say, this is drawn from the latest research in computational thinking from universities in Scotland, the USA, and Australia. And obviously, collaborative learning is a cornerstone of curriculum for excellence. So a good project is the culmination in each pack. But it's not just good enough to deliver these materials that kids can use in the classroom. So there's an accompanying teacher pack that stresses the pedagogy, that pushes the latest research in computational thinking, which is a new approach in many schools, and it will especially support those who may be non-specialists. I don't think we should have non-specialists teaching computer science, but I live in the real world and know that across the country there are lots of non-specialists delivering it. So it's a pack that people can run with even if they're not a computing science specialist. There'll be practical advice to overcome any technical hurdles. And there are suggested approaches. It's not prescriptive. This is CFE, after all. But the research, as I say, does suggest that interaction between students is key to understanding. So group discussion and peer programming is strongly encouraged. The lesson materials, well, it's a complete off-the-shelf package with sample apps, media files, solutions, and student tracking. And it maps to the CFE experiences and outcomes. It's a really highly flexible resource to anyone use and pick up and run with. So if you can just, for a moment, before I finish off, focus on one of the packs, I love my smartphone. I looked at mobile app development. Why mobile app development? Well, computing's changed, hasn't it? Today's learners have got a very different experience of computing from previous generations. Theirs is online, it's social, and it's mobile. The devices themselves have become much more tactile and personal. The result of convergence of numerous technologies from multi-touch, motion sensing, and GPS. So it was really important that we engaged in a way that would resonate with the learners' own digital lives. It's time to get away from working at the school tuck shop takings. And this has really captured students' imagination. There's lots of rich interdisciplinary potential. It can also be gender neutral. I find girls in particular really take to the social aspects of mobile app development, pulling in Twitter feeds and so on. Once again, it lends itself to an extended project, and it's open-ended, it's flexible, and it couldn't be more creative. The things that kids come up with, the ideas that they come up with for mobile apps, are just so far ahead of what people of my age would think of. It's quite inspiring. But most importantly, it's current, it's real world. They can develop an app, they can post it on an app store. It may be only their folks and their auntie that buys it. But what a fantastic motivator, full of interdisciplinary learning. So here's an example app. This is the second lesson that kids developed. They developed an app, that's just from the mobile phone emulator that's on the screen, a little finger painting app. They choose their colour, they've got little icons, and this is the clone that does it. It's blocks-based. If any of you ever tried to do a bit of computer science a number of years ago, you'll know that a missing semicolon at the end of the line, the whole house of cards falls down. And that can be a terrible demotivator. Nowadays, with blocks-based languages, kids can concentrate on the logic of what they're doing without focusing on a demanding syntax, thereby developing their computational thinking. A couple of apps later, doing something that's quite a bit more complicated, a variation on the classic pawn game, and that's within the reach of just about every learner by the end of the course, and that includes motion control. Wow, that's brilliant. Feedback from pilot schools: well, teachers really like this. It's not spoon-feeding them. Kids are asked to develop algorithms. They might be given partially completed algorithms, these lists of steps in English that describe what the program must do, and then they code it from that. And I believe that was not the norm for the particular class. This was one of the private schools that went through the materials for us in advance. The students themselves, they really liked the screencast. And the screencasts were great for further individual support and also for absent students or students who were distant learning. I like this one as well. This learner clearly realised how the code rules of phones. And my materials have been picked up further afield around the world. There's been some really positive feedback from down south. The schools in England had just got in touch with the RSC, the Royal Society of Edinburgh, unprompted and made these comments. Tunisia is picking up on them. And in the States, New York City, they're going to be running with my materials. And the first pack, starting from scratch, has just been translated into French at the request of the French government. INRIA, their National Research Institute for Computing Science, has just translated that into French for use in French schools. So that's quite pleasing. So, this brings us back to why it's important and why we're doing this. Because we need to invest in our future. We need to create a population of computational thinkers that understands computers and digital society. Isn't just a generation of tool users, but tool makers. At MIT, I met teachers and academics who bemoaned the fact that their education was really fragmented. They have an announcement from Barack Obama, and that then filters down to individual states, and then to counties, and to high school districts, and often individual schools. They lacked a national approach. With CFE, however, Scotland has a genuine chance to become a world leader by producing a nation of computational thinkers that can grow our economy and enjoy rewarding careers. You know, Britain became a great power through its Industrial Revolution. It wasn't therefore open to question whether the STEM subjects that drove that should become embedded in the mainstream curriculum. But we've had another Industrial Revolution since then. And the subject that's driven that, computing science, still doesn't appear in the mainstream curriculum in several countries, and is in perilous decline here. And we need to get this right, because if we don't, others will. You can be sure that China, India, Brazil, they're all working hard to establish computing science. Even countries we might not immediately think of in this respect, Egypt, Romania, Estonia, they're all currently investing a great deal in teaching CS, quite often down to primary level. So I'll leave you with a quote from President Barack Obama. That's a great concern he has. And without wishing to put words into the outgoing First Minister's mouth, that's my take on it. Thanks for listening.